welcome back to NPR. My name is Argyle Dickhead, and back on our discussion about vor porn and capitalism, we have our guests from the McLaughlin Group. John? I don't even remember. What was the name of the guy from the McLaughlin Group? He was just an angry... Was this John McLaughlin? The McLaughlin Group. That guy, like, from PBS?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I don't even know if this is going to be the beginning of the episode or not. But,
no, it will.
Oh, it will.
Yeah.
Like, no, we cut nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, we cut nothing. Vor porn and John McLaughlin in the first minute. Only here, folks. Yeah. We should probably get into it here. Welcome back to the campsite, everybody. We are the Wolverine Patrol, the vanguard of anti-capitalist Boy Scouts. There might be other anti-capitalist Boy Scouts podcasts, but I don't... I think we're the best one. I think we can agree.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely, right? As always, I'm here with our hosts, our co-hosts, Jack and John. My name is Tim. We're here, as always, with our producer, Ron. He just shaved his head last night, and it's so shiny.
I shave my head every day, though.
You do.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
How y'all doing? How's a couple weeks been? It's been interesting times out here in politics land, to be sure. So how's it been in your individual campsites, boys?
The individual campsite's doing just fine, but I'm just sitting in my house in existential horror watching all these Republican war criminals speak at the DNC. Like, this can't really be happening in my timeline.
Yeah, I think everything's good in my tent, but as soon as I unzip the fly, I'm staring out at the big giant inferno of a forest fire that is our country right now.
Literally.
Speaking of which, the redwood forest that just burned down this week, and you know the redwood forest in California is just extinct now.
Oh, cool, dude. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's fine. This is normal. This will, you know, who needs trees? What's a tree ever done for anybody?
Nothing for me.
No, that's true. That tree, he didn't build that. You didn't build this country.
You see a redwood, you didn't plant that.
You didn't plant that. Man, awesome. God, remember when the Republicans tried to make hay of the you didn't build that thing? Which was like maybe the most honest thing Obama said in 8 years, which is like, yeah, we have to be cooperative a little bit sometimes. We can't be these insane rugged individuals who think we're all going to fund our own private roads or whatever psycho shit with no taxes. Like, yeah. You have things because of an infrastructure that was built before you were born. And it's like the most honest fucking thing that guy said in 8 years. And they were like, oh my God, he thinks you are not an individual. Communism. Very bad. Very bad.
What's worse, that or the tan suit?
The tan suit. Oh my God, I forgot about the tan suit. You know, if Mitt Romney had a tan suit scandal, they would have thought he was naked on the White House lawn. And that would have been... No, he would have had to wear a white suit for that. Never mind. Moving on here, folks. The DNC was this week, and I don't know about you guys, but I am feeling more inspired than ever to cast my ballot for... I don't know. Does it matter at this point? Does electoral politics matter?
No.
No? All right. So what did you guys make of that? I know Jack alluded to it a little bit at the beginning, but what was your level of existential horror, and like kind of, did it bother you a lot, or was it just like annoying to you, or like I don't know. What do you guys make of it?
Just kind of numb to it at this point, because we already saw the whole the Republicans backing Biden thing.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the name of that group is.
The Lincoln Project.
The Lincoln Project.
We talked about this in episode one or two. But that's not anything new at this point. I'm just kind of like, oh, okay, it sucks and it's annoying. But other than that, I'm just numb.
Yeah.
I think the like most interesting take that I could come up with, because I didn't watch the whole DNC because I don't want to bleed from my eyeballs. But I did watch like the big keynote speeches on YouTube after they had happened. And just the total vapidity, especially of Kamala's speech. Like, just absolutely no policy to speak of. It's all about, like, I was an immigrant, my parents were immigrants, you know, I came up from a hard scrabble life, and I'm successful, and I beat big banks, and I did this and that, and it's just like...
Cool, dude.
Cool, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, what are you going to do for, like, the poorest and most vulnerable people who are suffering exponentially right now? What are you going to fundamentally change for those people?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, I don't want to belabor this point too much because I feel that a more polished political podcast have already discussed it. But, like, if you're not going to offer people anything materially and you're not going to, like, really fundamentally change anything, could you at least be entertaining? Like, I feel like next week, the RNC, that's going to be just a week straight of unrepentant just fascism. But, like, at least, like, some funny people are going to speak and say some funny things. This was not only depressing and sad and just maddening, but it was fucking boring on top of that. And, like, my God, in an era where a reality TV man is president, how are you going to be boring in politics? It's horrendous.
True.
God.
Well, I thought it was really interesting to, like, look at the content of Biden's speeches at the DNC versus the content of his platform on his website. Because, like, supposedly this is supposed to be, like, everybody's tuning in. It's the DNC. Tell them your platform. Tell them why they should vote for you. Like, I'm now nominated, so this is what I'm going to do as president if I get elected.
Right.
And instead of doing that, he got up there and basically said, we're going to return America to the better way that it used to be, but we're going to do it in a different way than the other guy says that he's going to return America to the better way that it used to be. And it's like they're both just these hard line reactionary lines of thought in the speeches, right? But then if you go to his website, it's all of these talking points that have been drawn from the left wing camp over the course of the past, like, 10 years, right? I mean, there's, like, ending cash bail. There's green jobs programs, green energy, and immigration reform. I mean, just a laundry list of things that the left has been demanding for forever. And it's like they're trying to capture the progressive vote by putting all those things on the website because they know that progressives are more likely to go and read the platforms. And, like, the dumb people that they think are going to be watching the DNC on network television, they're like, oh yeah, America, God bless our troops, yeah, I'm working class Joe, you know?
Ron, did you want to jump in with something?
I mean, I guess my take on the DNC would be that I watch Snowpiercer.
Great film, so, by the way. God. Yeah, have you guys all seen Snowpiercer? Yeah.
No, I haven't.
I showed the roommate because she had never seen it before.
Right.
It's, oh my God.
I mean, I've heard only good things. Oh, now they're making another series based off of it.
Yeah. They have a TV show based off of it, yeah.
Bong Joon-ho is really, like, I don't want to get too sidetracked here in a cultural talk because we will be here all day, but, like, my God, if late capitalism has done anything right, it has gotten kind of independent film in this, like, place, in, like, the auteur cinema, in a place that I don't think it's been since, like, Scorsese.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, I think probably the best thing about Bong Joon-ho is when he was at the Oscars and he won all of them, and him just, like, refusing to speak English when he very clearly does. Because he's shot films in English, and he's just like, no, fuck you. I don't want to. It's pretty great.
That is pretty awesome. Yeah. I think that's a great move and awesome. Because, like, hey, you're going to honor my heritage if you're going to give me these awards. I thought that was cool. Yeah. But what were you saying about the DNC? You'd watch Snowpiercer instead.
No, I literally just watched Snowpiercer.
That's your whole take.
No, I didn't watch the DNC.
Okay, well, you know, I didn't watch
it. I didn't either. I just read about it a little bit.
Yeah, that's. I watched a few speeches here and there. I watched Biden's speech. I agree, it was bullshit. The one that really got me, though, this is the line that I will remember. It'll be my last thought when the DMT runs out when I die. I went to the gas station to pick up toilet paper and a few other things because I'm an adult that definitely doesn't wait till I'm about to shit and out of toilet paper to go get toilet paper. And I
put the brown rug on the bathroom floor.
Jesus Christ! I caught part of the Quab's speech. Amy Klobuchar's spoke on I want to say the first night of the convention, and my last thought before I die will be her going, Donald Trump may be trying to underfund the post office, but we're going to send him a change of address in January.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And I'm like, what in the almighty Fargo fuck is this? But also, what? Who writes for you? You couldn't hire somebody to write a better line than that? Like, my God. And that was the other point that, like, you know, I don't want to belabor too much because Chapo already made it. But, like, DNC, the Democrats, the Libs, aren't they, like, aligned with the interests of, like, the entertainment class in Hollywood? They couldn't get better writers, better production value, better anything at all?
No, because I think their whole game is like, we gotta play nice and fair, even though we still want to fuck everybody over.
And that's the point I was thinking. I don't think it's so much that they can't do better. It's they're just like, no, this is what our base wants to hear.
Yeah.
This is what...
All 12 of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, this is what Twitter liberals want to hear. They want to hear shit like, you know...
Yeah, they want just, like, the straight into the camera, like, we're gonna be the prim and proper... You know, in the face of Trump's craziness and having the MyPillow guy at the RNC. But what you actually got was, like, zero substance, but also not very interesting. Which, like, you can't do both. I think, like, Hollywood and movies have proven it's either got to be entertaining or it's got to be interesting. Or both. But it's got to be one or the other for people to watch.
Yeah, it's just really fascinating to watch the, like, American political spectacle stripped of its, like, cheering throngs of people. Right? I think that's why the DNC came off as being so sterile and boring. Like, because the things that were going to be happening on this big stage with all these balloons everywhere and fucking lights and music and cheering people and all the signs and everything, like, but if you strip all that theater stuff away and you're left with just the substance of the speeches, everybody's just like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like,
yeah, if you read transcripts, I mean, you said you didn't watch it, right, John? You just read it?
I didn't even read the transcripts. I just read, like, so, like, the thing you were talking about, Klobuchar, I just, like, read little excerpts that people wrote about the different things, because I was like, that's all I could bear to do at this point.
Yeah, you can't listen to these people. But, you know, there were some other star powers, I guess you could say. It wasn't just, Biden and Kamala. There were some other great names that I'm sure you all will love to hear on the docket. Former governor of Ohio, John Kasich, spoke the first evening. Boo. We are an Ohio podcast. Listen, I'm not trying to be too controversial, but we are not a pro-Kasich podcast. I know that's shocking to all of you, but...
We are Ohio's number one wrestling and comic books podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. But we are not. We would not call John Kasich a friend of the show. In fact, I would say he's an enemy of the show, if we could call him anything. There is something particularly grotesque about them trying to trot John Kasich out as a reasonable moderate. Yeah, there's something so strange about that to me, because I live in Ohio. I've lived in Ohio my whole life. And I seem to recall him trying to gut the union my dad was in and gave me a good life my entire life, gave me good health insurance growing up, gave me life insurance, gave me things that my father can build to give to his children someday. Yeah, he tried to take that away and fuck them all. And he also decimated Planned Parenthood in the state. So the idea that he's going to be the reasonable center that you're going to trot out... yeah, it's pretty much exactly what I would expect from these fucking people at this point, but, like, also, wow, it made my stomach churn.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember, like, when we went from Kasich to DeWine, and I was just like, oh my god, guys, like, this is just getting worse. Like, we just keep sliding in this rightward direction that's ridiculous. We didn't learn a damn thing.
Yeah, no, it's really upsetting.
Who else was speaking?
Who else was speaking?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Good old John.
Wasn't Bernie there?
Bernie was there. Bernie was there. You know, he pretty much did what he said he was going to do.
Did you see that video? There was, like, I think they accidentally cut to him early, and there was, like, him prepping, and they were like, he's like, can you see my hands? If I put them here, okay, we're in the shot. Let's not move. Da, 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 da. And his wife was, like, fixing his hair, and he's just like, get out of here. He's like, shoot. Just being, like, you know. An old married couple.
Yeah.
And then there was people who were unironically all over Twitter being like, look how he hates women. Look how he mistreats. And, like, there's something, they lined the shot up and he just said, okay, so let's nobody move if we can avoid it now. And there's, like, he's telling everybody not to move. Look how evil he is. And it's like, because when you line up a shot, that's the point.
Yeah.
It's lined up, nobody move a
thing.
It's
literally production value.
Yeah.
And he's literally, like, not being mean to his wife. It doesn't look like in that clip. It's just, like, the classic, like, honey, I know you're trying to do the best thing, but, like, we're trying to do the thing right now. Like, listen, I've been with my partner for 7 years, and there are definitely levels of bickering where you're just like, stop, calm down, it's okay, you know? And believe me, as somebody who's often on the receiving end of that, not so much the giving, no, it's not that big a deal, y'all. It ain't that deep. Like, you know, both of my co-hosts are married, so I'm sure they can speak more on that.
I think they're just trying to continue the thing where they saw him saying some shitty shit to Elizabeth Warren about how, like, a woman president's never going to happen in his lifetime. And regardless about how that actually went down, I feel like they're just trying to continue that.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be, I think what he actually said, if I recall correctly, which honestly does sound more like something he would say very directly, is not a woman shouldn't be president, or I don't think a woman, but that a son of a bitch like Donald Trump is going to make hay wherever he can, and he will absolutely evoke the most sexist attacks shamelessly anytime he can, and that's going to be a challenge.
Right, and I interpreted that too as not so much like, I don't want to see a woman president. I just don't think, because of the state of how things are at this time, that I will see one in my lifetime.
Yeah,
he's an old dude, so I mean, it's
challenging. Even if that is, even if that's what he said, like, that's more of a commentary on society than like his personal viewpoint,
right,
which
exactly.
is, you know, yeah.
Yeah, but you saw that in 2016, man. Like, you saw on the right-wing meme pages, like, oh, well, what happens the first time she gets her period?
Yeah,
what happens
Jesus
if she,
Christ.
If she's,
in
like,
2016.
Going through menopause and shit, and it's like, yeah, in 2016, like, yeah, those attacks were absolutely levied.
Yes, is she gonna start a war with her vagina? Like, just, yeah, dude, and, like, you are gonna see that, and it is gonna be gross, and it's gonna suck. And, like, if you're not prepared for that, and you're not prepared to, like, deal with that, and, like, honest, I mean, really, the best way you could deal with that, I would think, would be to ignore it and talk about policy, because people are suffering right now, and they want to know what you're going to do to them. But I think, as we've established, the Democrats are not allowed to do that ever.
No.
Their donors are like, never talk about anything, please. That is our only caveat for giving you this money, is never actually say anything ever. And they went with it, man. They drank that Kool-Aid, so.
And here we are.
And here we are. Who else was on that docket, man? That was Meg Whitman, former CEO of Hewlett-Packard and Republican nominee for governor of California in 2010. Also, I believe, a top strategist or a top person in the Mitt Romney campaign in 2012.
Can somebody legitimately explain to me why a bunch of Republicans are speaking at the DNC?
Because it's not for us, Ron. It's for those mythical never-Trump moderate Republicans that supposedly... make up this huge, enormous base, and it's the pitch that, like, hey, you don't have to vote Republican the way they're going with all their rudeness and ickiness. We'll just become that. It'll be fine, folks. It'll be great, folks. You're going to love it. You're going to love it.
Here's a point that actually, I don't remember who, but somebody brought up on Twitter, and I'd be interested to get you guys' point of view. Somebody you see all the time of Democrats being like, we got to pull in the moderates, or we're trying to pull in these Republican voters, but you never see that on the flip side.
No.
You never really see Republicans trying to, like, pull Dems.
No.
So why, and it's like, is it because they don't have to? They don't have to worry about that?
I think that's mostly it. Yeah, I think the Overton window, because of, you know, just the brain poisoning that is, like, late-end capitalism, I think that, like, the Overton window in this country is still very far rightward, and it's just, like, and capitalism tends to, you know, favor reactionary politics because that's what helps it keep its legitimacy and helps it kind of defend the whole thing. So the Overton window, as far as like the establishment in kind of the economic world we currently live, I think is always going to tend rightward, at least where like the Western world's concerned.
Does anybody else hear that squeaky noise somewhere?
It sounds like some kid, and because I live with someone who is autistic and plays with a lot of children's toys, and I'm constantly hearing this, that's exactly what it sounds like. It sounds like he's playing with like a light up toy or like a Tonka truck or something. It's like
I was reading the policy points on Biden's website, right? And it was just the perfect illustration of how feckless and useless the Democrats really are to make changes that are important. And it was his climate plan.
Oh, yeah.
And it said that his goal, climate plan, was going to be to get the United States to 100% green renewable energy and net zero carbon emissions by 2050. And I'm just like, you guys, that is such a long off date.
That's 30 years. We do not have 30 years.
Absolutely not. And
planet death will happen before that.
Yes.
Multiple continents have been burning since the beginning of this year.
Yeah. 2050. And so I just looked at that and I'm like, that is a policy that is meant to be rolled back the next time that you have a Republican president.
Oh, 100%.
And that is the fundamental reason why we cannot rely on the Democrats in any way to get the policies put through that would actually make people's lives better, because those policies can always be rolled back.
Right. They can always come in later and let the Republicans be hatchet men.
And it's clear that Biden's entire platform that he's put forward is literally just a setup for Republicans to come in later and be the bad guys, be the, you know, bad cop.
Right.
And just chop it all down.
Right. And I think that that's funny, because I really think that you just answered what Ron's question was before we had our little pause because of that noise. It's like, why are they having all these Republicans come and speak at the DNC? Well, because at the end of the day, if you acknowledge that they're two sides of the same capitalist coin, then when you're, what you're really saying when you're trotting Republicans out is, guys, calm down. We're all on the same side. Fuck the working class. All these policies they're talking about, don't worry, man. We're all on the same side. We'll roll them back after. It's fine.
We all have our bunkers we can go into.
And that's the thing. When I say they're not talking to us, I don't just mean, like, they're not talking to, like, working class or people who don't make a lot of money. I mean, they're not, like, they're not talking to young people. They're not talking to people who have any real, like, future in this world. They're not talking to, about, you know, not, I'm just saying they're not just talking, I'm not saying they're not talking about us politically. They're literally not talking about anything about our demographic, really.
Right.
None of it would benefit our demographic. They're talking to people who have healthcare, maybe are on Medicaid, maybe are petite kind of bourgeoisie, professional managerial class, that, like, maybe have six figures, that they can be like, it's okay, you can come vote for us. We won't help the working class, it's fine, you know? And I think that's really what it's all about.
Yeah, Biden specifically, like, one of the only points in his speech where he actually seemed even slightly passionate about what he was saying was when he was saying, I won't cut Medicaid and Medicare.
Oh, yeah.
And he's trying to turn out that a big chunk of seniors who are legitimately scared of losing their income. I mean,
not unfairly so, yeah.
But I think that he's trying to capture that demographic a lot more than he's trying to capture the younger demographic,
yeah,
for
absolutely
sure. Because if he talked with the younger demographic about what the issues are going to impact them, he would have to admit that his plan is just totally bullshit.
Right. And, you know, I'm sorry, John, I want to give you a point, but I got to jump in there.
No, you're cool.
The idea that he is going to get passionate, really actually get passionate about Social Security and Medicare, when Barack Obama's administration had, like, a grand bargain in place early on in his administration to effectively privatize both of those things in some ways, and it was actually only the Tea Party being vehement that they weren't going to vote on any Obama administration that kind of fucked him and made that not happen. So, like, the idea that this guy was, like, the second banana in an administration that, like, actively tried to do this and brought in, like, this team of people from both sides of the aisle to, like, kind of strike this deal in return for some things is gonna, like, save those programs, like, bullshit of the highest regard. I don't know what else to call it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because they know that they can't actually keep the program solvent for the long term, so what they're hoping is that they can hitch it to the financial markets and somehow screw the working class hard enough that the financial era will continue to go up, and so it'll look like, on paper, maybe Social Security and Medicare would be solvent if we factor in, like, oh, well, we're going to invest all, you know, private equity is in now in control of all this money, and they're going to invest it, and they're going to grow it. And that's where the money's going to come from. And, yeah, like, the market's never going to crash. It's going to be fine.
Yeah, dude.
Because that's always what happens. The line just keeps going up.
Absolutely. Forever. Stonks, forever. Baby. Stonks.
Stonks. Stonks.
Stonks. Stonks.
So, now, here's a question, because we're getting almost at the halfway point. I feel like we get to this. The RNC. Which is shaping up to be the most insane thing that has ever happened.
Let me look up the RNC speaker list.
Please do.
Fascism. Carrying a cross, right, and draping
while
an
I look
American
that up,
flag.
John, do you have any closing thoughts on the DNC or any of that?
Well, what you guys were just saying, because Trump has just come out and said recently, like, oh yeah, I plan on gutting Social Security and Medicaid. So it's just like, okay, so that's a pretty big existential threat to a big portion of his base. I'm pretty sure we talked about that in one of the earlier episodes.
Yeah.
But then Biden's response to that is just like, oh, well, it's fine, don't worry about it. It's all going to stay the same. Like, you don't have anything to, like, come up against that. Like,
right.
No, we have to go the other way. We have to, like, boost it up and, you know, push up against that. No, that's not.
Well, John, they're going to lower the Medicare eligibility age from 65 to 60.
Thank God.
Holy shit.
Thank God.
Yeah. Okay. It's not like they're just doing nothing.
Yeah, no, it'll absolutely go the other way, which is what I think is very funny. Why can nobody just give me a fucking list, my guys?
Unrelated, but I have a running joke lately of Trump being the Avatar from, like, The Last Airbender. That's just been my bit that I've been amusing myself with lately.
Oh, my God. That's like some QAnon shit.
I mastered all four elements. It's great. It's the best. Ted Cruz, terrible waterbender. He could never do it. I know it. You know it. Everybody knows it.
So somebody, again, we want to talk about some local news. So, yeah, there's going to be the typical cast of shitheads. You know, Trump's going to speak. Mike Pence is going to speak. Apparently, Mitch McConnell's not going to be there. So
well, he's dead.
Oh, well, that would explain it.
From COVID.
Tim Scott, that black Republican senator in South Carolina. So they're going to trot out their one person of color. Pretty standard. But among some
is
of the...
Is Ben Carson talking?
I don't actually know if he is or not that I can see.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is. I guess they didn't want to put everyone to sleep.
He's probably just sleeping.
Already. Yeah, he's napping. But some of the two more interesting ones, if we want to talk about local people... The young man named Nick Sandman, who was the MAGA Covcalf kid, got in the old Native American man's face, he's going to speak about how he's being persecuted, and he's a victim, and it's all very upsetting to him, I'm sure. We're all going to feel very bad for him by the end, I think. And also, the couple that pointed guns at protesters in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Yes, their names are Mark and Patricia McCloskey. And they are going to, they're currently facing felony charges, and they're about to get up in front of the whole world. I don't know who the fuck their lawyer is, but he needs to be fired immediately.
Jesus Christ.
Is it in Minneapolis? The RNC? I'm pretty sure if you're going up on felony charges, you're not supposed to leave the state.
I think they're going to be remoted in, I would guess.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, I think a lot of it. I think a fair amount of it's going to be remote still.
Can we talk about that incident real quick? Because I see so much conflicting information about it. I honestly still don't know what actually happened. I know that they're, like, in a private gated community, and you see the pictures of the gate being, like,
yeah, they supposedly said, like, one of them had a gun, and I don't think that's super... Basically, yeah, there were these protesters, and they went out, and... I can't remember what they said to him, but words were exchanged, and then they pointed guns because they said they felt threatened or whatever. But, like, I don't believe the protests were on their property, even.
They were just, like, they broke into the gated community to, like, protest, and they felt threatened.
Was that what it was?
Apparently, that's what it was, but it's like, okay, but they still weren't on your actual private property.
Yeah, and they also, that doesn't mean you can just point a gun at people.
Right, exactly.
Like,
it does, though. Like, that woman is... on the bar administration for, like, the state.
Really?
Yeah. She was she's, like, a really highly successful lawyer, and she sits on the bar.
You know, it's always so funny to me that people think, like, there are still people in this world that think, like, individual, like, oh, my racist uncle's harmless or whatever, even though he's a douchebag. But, like, okay, but what do these people do for a living? They're lawyers, they're doctors, they're people who approve loans from banks. Like... these are not just, like, some yokel hicks in trailer parks or whatever. These, like, truly racist and fucked up people exist in positions of power in every community in this country.
Yep.
And, like, we need to grapple with that fact in a way that we are not right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and pushing off the veneer of, like, the lumpen proletariat as being the most reactionary class is, like, a dirty trick that the liberals always play. You know, it's not our fault. It's the lumpen it's these poor people, you know.
Right. Do you want to explain the term lumpen? Because I feel like maybe some of our listeners may not entirely know what that term means.
Yeah, no, the lumpen proles are like homeless folks and drug dealers and prostitutes. Anybody who makes their living outside of the law is a member of the lumpen proletariat.
Yeah. Yeah, and the idea that, like, somehow, like, these people who are frequently working class, hence the name proletariat, are somehow, like, they are the scary ones. They are the ones who have these horrifying right-wing views, and they're the ones who are going to, you know, hurt your kids and fuck everybody up and blow up buildings and shit. And, like, they might be the ones who do the individual, like, man-to-man violence in some cases, but if we're talking, like, full-scale systematic violence against people, it's not the racists in the trailer parks, man. It's the racists in the boardrooms and the racists in City Hall.
Mm-hmm. I think that was the biggest takeaway from, what was it, Charlottesville?
Yeah.
Rally. I mean, everybody who was in there fucking carrying a tiki torch was wearing a collared shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Tucking into some nice pants, khaki pants.
A lot of them were kids in college.
Yeah.
I mean, their parents were sending them to very good schools. Yeah. Like
These were not, I mean, exactly what you were saying, this kind of stereotypical idea of like a yokel.
Yeah.
As like, I mean, these were obviously.
Right.
Like, I mean, yeah.
Well, right. And the entire narrative is crafted to individualize the problem of fascism.
Right.
And to say that fascism is a wrong opinion that is held by certain people. Right? And it's not a systemic reaction to capitalism going into a state of crisis. Right? Fascism is capitalism with its fangs out.
Exactly.
And if you understand it as such, then it makes perfect sense that all of these people in these really high positions of society going to these expensive schools and, you know, with these big fancy jobs and shit, like, of course they're going to be the most reactionary members of society because they have the most to lose if capitalism falls apart.
Oh, God. And I think Bolsonaro in Brazil, and really, like, the white minority in Brazil and in South America in general is, like, exhibit fucking A of that.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, the rich elite who are European descendant in those countries are so afraid of the kind of non-white, generally more left-wing masses that they elect the most insane people.
Yeah. Oh, and I like that you brought up Charlottesville, Ron, because I know you didn't watch Biden's speech, but he had the fucking audacity to say that Charlottesville was the moment that he knew he had to run.
Boo.
I am not making this
right.
up.
Boo.
I am not making this up. I'm like, dude, you didn't give a fuck about Charlottesville when it happened. Not one. You were retired and living out your life in the most lavish luxury that you could afford.
In Delaware.
In Delaware.
Where you, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, it's too much to live high on the hog in Delaware.
And you decided to come out of retirement because the DNC dragged you out to defend the status quo against Bernie.
Yeah.
I heard Charlottesville, and it said, hey, I like Charlotte, North Carolina like that. They got the Hornets, and that's when the Hornets stung me. And that's when I went out, and that's when me and Barry went on the road trip. And that's, you know, that's, fuck you, vote for the other guy. That's when I knew I had to run.
That's right, Fat. Thank
yeah.
you. Thank you, Fat.
Yeah.
Thanks, Fat.
Thank you, America, and thank you, Fat.
Good night. Thanks, man. Jesus Christ. Oh, boy.
What did he say? What did he say? Like, fuck you, Fat? Or what did he...
Listen here, Fat.
Listen here, Fat. That's great.
Listen here, Fat. And I really did... Listen, I really did think he was talking to me when he said that. And I would have responded to it. I would... That, you know, that would be like me looking at Ron and saying, listen here, bald.
Yeah,
like,
listen here, bald. Yeah. It's just like...
Just
I feel
looking
like,
to the camera on my laptop.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Who, me? Is the CIA sending him notes? Is my CIA agent sending him notes? My God.
Listen here, Fat.
Listen here, Fat. Oh, man, yeah, but final takeaways on the RNC. It's going to be way scarier, but also probably way funnier than the DNC. I think we can all agree.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, don't be wrong. Here's the thing. With Donald Trump, he is, I mean, it's terrifying. He's evil. He's just like a horror. He should not have any power.
Yeah, no.
A human being. But don't act like it's not the most entertaining fucking thing to watch this man just, like, be president and go on, like, on TV and say insane shit. Like,
oh, you know who else?
I hate that he has power.
You know who I think might be, and I can't really substantiate this, it's mostly been in memes. Do you guys know about the MyPillow guy?
Yes.
Are you familiar?
I've heard it referenced. I'm not.
Okay, he's a guy who, he's an entrepreneur. He has this weird pillow company he runs that he's made a killing off of. He's been, like, a businessman for a long time. This guy was so into drugs once upon a time that his drug dealers did an intervention for him.
Damn.
No, damn.
His drug dealers, his crack dealers, he was smoking so much crack that his crack dealers had an intervention for him and said, dude, you gotta quit smoking so much crack.
Jesus Christ.
You gotta get cleaned up. And of course, then he became a holier-than-thou evangelical shithead who loves Trump. He's just, and that's it, man. It's gonna be just... The other side, man. Last week we got the old, you know, house, you know, the old elegant house that's kind of, you know, nothing very interesting in it that we all go through on a museum as children. That's like, oh, tradition and spectacle and beautiful. Next week, baby, we're going to the basement and seeing the septic tank.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be quite something.
Jesus Christ. I want somebody with the attitude and confidence of Trump, but just with good politics. That is my dream president.
The presidential Trump Twitter.
Right. Like, just somebody who has actually good politics, but at the same time, like, just doesn't fucking care. Somebody, yeah. Colin on the movie podcast has made this point. There is an alternate universe where Trump is, like, one of the greatest roast comedians of all time. Because I think at his core, that's what he is. That's why he loves the rallies. That's why he loves the crowd. He's a fucking troll.
Is Jeff Ross president in the universe? Yeah. I would just like to congratulate America's first Jewish president, President Jeff Ross. That would be... that would never... I don't know, man. That is one thing I could see happening in our lifetime, is us having, like, a non-Christian president. Because I think that, like, we are... Despite the evangelicals becoming more psycho, we are becoming a more secularized country.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
Obama was a Muslim. What are you talking about?
Right. That I could not imagine. Though it would be, you know, obviously very interesting and cool if it happened. But, yeah, I could see us having, like, a Jewish president, or, like, definitely another Catholic president, or, like, I don't know, maybe an Eastern... Let's throw an Eastern Orthodox in just for fun, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, fuck it, man. I'd love to see the patriarch, the priest patriarch come visit the White House. That'd be cool. In his big-ass hat.
We have a Quaker president.
We did.
Oh, who was a Quaker?
Richard Nixon.
Oh, Nixon was a Quaker?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he held up those ideals very well.
Everybody cut your dick off and eat oatmeal.
Dude, I was dying the other day. I was rewatching one of the Treehouse of Horrors Simpsons from, like, before Nixon died. And they have, like, the council from hell. And it's like, I can't remember who all it even is. But, like, there's one part where, like, Richard Nixon, he goes, I'm not dead. I just wrote an article for Redbook.
Oh, shit.
And, like, I fucking lost it. Like, dude, old Simpsons, like... We're now Ohio's top Simpsons podcast. Yeah. I think that's the moral of the story
I'm
here.
I'm updating the listing on iTunes right now.
Perfect. Where are we at on time here, my dude?
We're at about like 40 minutes.
All right. I think it would be fun to go around again and see if we're all still feeling the same way about the election in lieu of the DMC. Do you think they might eke out a win? Do you think Trump is just going to shit the bed somehow? Do you think everything's pretty much where it was last week, where all things are still equally likely? Where's everyone at? I guess we could start with Ron. Go around.
I'm just so numb to it.
Yeah.
At this point, and it really is. In 2016, I would have sit here and told you if it was Trump or Hillary, either way, I'm like, doesn't matter. Both of them will be a one-term president.
Oh, yeah.
I would almost guarantee you every dime I had. But now, sitting here 4 years later, and there was even a point not that long ago that I was like, doesn't matter. Fucking Trump's done. He's out, especially with the COVID shit. He's kicking himself in the foot. But now. It's just kind of like, I honestly don't fucking know. I really don't have enough confidence either way to try to make a statement of what I think is going to happen.
Fair.
I really think, I mean, it's a fucking coin toss for me at this point.
Sure. John?
I pretty much think exactly the same thing as Ron just said. There's not really any way to tell at this point what's going to happen because... both sides just keep shit in the bed, but the Democrats are losing more favor.
Yeah, they're definitely pissing certain demographics that kind of really need off, aren't they?
Yeah.
Jack, are you still the cynic? Are you still saying Trump's gonna dominate?
I think he's gonna take it by a mile.
Do you?
Yeah. And like what I think, what I thought while I was watching Biden's speech, was that he mentioned. That we had to get control of the virus before we could go back to normal, right? He said that. And what Biden may or may not be aware of is that there are so many conspiracy loons on the right that believe that this whole coronavirus thing is an attempt to take over the government or institute one world government. I even saw a meme on Facebook that said that COVID was part of building the third temple.
Jesus. Just
out and out anti-Semitism, right?
Christ.
And there are a lot of people out there that think something is fishy with this COVID shit and it's obviously some kind of shady, you know, deep state takeover or whatever. Those conspiracy theories about the deep state and Hillary Clinton crushed her in 2016.
Yeah.
And Trump rode that wave to victory. And the same thing is going to happen now. They're going, because Biden doesn't have any choice but to say, I'm going to listen to the scientists. I'm going to shut the country down if we need to. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get control of the virus. He literally can't say otherwise. But that is going to fuel this conspiracy theory machine on the right that's going to say, look, he's saying it, you know, he's saying that he's going to let Bill Gates inject you with a microchip.
Right.
You know,
and in theory, the way to counter that would be like a Bernie platform where you're like, yes, we do need to get this under control. Yes, we do need to do A, B, and C. But we also have to materially offer people something long term to do that.
That this got so bad was because we don't have Medicare for all.
Right.
It would never have been this bad. But that is totally absent from the conversation.
Yeah, that is out of the question for the DNC.
And, you know, not really, kind of related, but that just reminds me of this. There was a study I was reminded of a while back, and it was years ago, how, like, the French have this, like, crazy, much longer life expectancy than we do. But then you look at them, and they all smoke like chimneys.
Yep.
And they all drink like fish.
Yep.
Their diet is extremely, like, quick carb heavy, like, fast carb heavy. Yeah. So it's like, how? Like, how do these people? And guess what it turns out? Turns out portion control was a big part, but mainly access to universal health care helps people live a lot longer.
Yeah, being able to go to the fucking doctor and not having to worry about anything is pretty nice. Yeah. All right, so straight up, I was in the ER yesterday, and I have a good full-time job with what most people would consider good insurance. Do you know how much that bill's going to be when I get it?
Before or after insurance?
After insurance.
Probably like $5,000.
No.
No, like...
No, not before. No, I'm talking about after insurance. How much am I going to have to pay out of my own pocket?
$200?
Well, I'm just talking
about...
Well,
$250.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe close to $300 now.
Okay, well, I'm just talking about from personal experience from when my wife had to go to the ER.
Yeah.
So. I was about to say, the last time that I was in the ER, I thought I might have shattered my elbow. It turns out I just bruised it really bad.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, yeah, after insurance, it was like $100.
Yeah, see, that would be nice, but like mine is like $250 still.
Yeah.
And like... Based on my wage, I would have to work for like half a week to make $250, or probably 2 days anyway.
Yeah.
So it's like, I am a person with somewhat decent access to healthcare, but like, if I don't have $250 on me that week, something came up, whatever, that could be a genuine hesitancy. Now, luckily, I have support from people who were able to, you know, help me out or whatever.
Right.
But my God, like, I'm not even one of the truly like poorest people in this country, and even I was like very hesitant, like, should I go to the doctor, should I not go to the doctor?
Yeah.
Oh my God, what should I do? And like, I was in horrible pain. So like, something like this is only going to exacerbate what's like a problem across multiple income brackets.
Yeah.
More horrifying shit, y'all.
Yeah. And that's that.
And that's that.
I don't know.
That's all it is. I'm trying to remember. Was there anything else we wanted to talk about? Oh, Steve Bannon got arrested this week.
Oh, yeah.
Let's dive into that in the last 10 or so minutes here. Steve Bannon, friend of the show.
Yeah, good friend of the show. Had him on many times.
Friend of the show, human Kleenex.
Yeah.
That's what my partner calls him, a human Kleenex. He looks like a crumpled up tissue paper of a man.
He really does. No, he just like, he is the epitome of just like, when every racist, like white racist fucking thinks that they're like,
the master race.
Yeah, I think that they're the master race always looks like a crumpled up Kleenex.
Yeah, he looks like literally somebody like blew into a Kleenex, maybe Donald Trump, threw it on the ground, and then Mickey Mouse came in his sorcerer's hat and went boop, 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 and just turned him into a real boy.
He just looks like he's melting all the time.
Well, I just saw something the other day where it's like the human body is like 60% water and Steve Bannon's just 60% grease.
Yeah. Correct.
Steve Bannon just built different.
Yeah. Well, he's also... He counts his money a little different too, I guess. Or his brain for legal stuff's a little different, because it turns out, you guys aren't going to believe this, the money he was raising privately to build the wall, that, you know, the government project that was supposed to be the wall, somehow that was supposed to work, wasn't so much the case. He was putting that money into other things and may have not actually had any intention of building that wall.
He didn't.
Yeah, and it's like, I think we're all shocked and horrified by this, but...
This is a guy who made his bones on Breitbart. Literally just feeding the raging right-wing masses of fucking loons whatever they wanted to hear, no matter how outlandish and ridiculous it was.
Yeah.
That's how he came up. And it just did not shock me at all. Like, no, these people are fucking idiots.
Yeah, the place that was so right-wing that Ben Shapiro got anti-Semitically bullied out of it.
Yeah.
Ben Shapiro, like, arguably, like, one of the most right-wing, like, prominent commentators in the country, was not ethnically pure enough for Breitbart.
Well, it's because they are just, like, a straight-up white supremacist publication.
At this point, yeah. I'd say the most mainstream white supremacist in the world, probably.
Yeah.
At least in this country. I don't know in the world.
I was that is just the perfect encapsulation of his entire career, is conning people out of $25 million. People who clearly don't understand how much it would take to raise $10 billion on GoFundMe.
Right.
I guarantee there is some racist and like Eastern European who runs a website that would make Breitbart look like Harry Potter.
That's probably true. Yeah. Somewhere in my ancestral homeland.
Yeah, probably, like fucking like Yugoslavia. It's like,
yeah. In the ex like Yugoslavic states, just like, yeah. I saw a Jew turn into a roach the other day, and you're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Why did I put this in Google Translate?
Yeah, Jesus. And then like our moms end up sharing it on Facebook. It's like, I read this today.
Yeah, on eagle.freedom.yg, Yugoslavia. Yugoslavia doesn't exist, Mom. It hasn't existed since the 90s.
Did you see Biden tweet out that he was in solidarity with the Belarusian protesters against the Lukashenko government?
No, I didn't. What is going on in Belarus right now?
So Lukashenko has been in power for a really long time. Oops. And there was a call for elections, and he was one of the candidates, and he won, right?
Yeah.
Won. And so now there's a bunch of people out in the street saying, no, he wasn't supposed to win this election.
Right. Is he like supposedly a socialist, or is he like a fasci?
Yeah, he's like an old Eastern Bloc type of guy.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Man, he's got to be like the last one at this point.
He was. Yeah, people call him Europe's last dictator. Legitimately.
Wow, he's the last. Thank God, guys. We did it. No more dictators in Europe. Isn't Turkey part of the EU?
Is it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was at one time. Oh, Erdogan's Turkey was in the fucking EU. Like, in the last dictator, guys, is the last one.
No, I'm pretty sure they're in NATO, right?
Oh, yeah.
Are they in the EU?
I think they were at one time. I don't know if they still are.
Hey, there's this magic little box I have right here that might tell us the truth.
Yeah.
Wow.
We all have computers.
Europe's last dictator. What a fucking farce. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Europe's last dick.
Europe's last dick. Speaking of Europe's last dick, Steve Bannon.
Yeah.
Europe's last scrotum, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Steve Bannon is the collection of all the foreskins.
That got cut off because of circumcision.
Yeah. We are the sons of the foreskins that you couldn't cut off.
Jesus Christ.
Turkey apparently is in the EU.
Turkey is in the EU. God. Oh my God, dude.
Dude, you're right. That makes it so much worse to say that.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. God. Ugh. But, I think we can all agree that, you know, fuck the people that got screwed over by Steve Bannon. They absolutely got what they deserved. And, fuck them.
Yeah.
That's kind of rhyme out. I think that's really the best thing you can say about those people. But, like, you know, yeah, they pretty much, they got what they were always going to get. And if they were too stupid to realize that, then, like, I don't know, man.
People said that when it was happening. Like, when the GoFundMe was up and all these people were pouring all their money in there, people on left-wing Facebook were like, they're just going to pocket all that money.
Yeah.
And then they did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you guys see that he was on a boat when they found him or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess he bought a boat with some of that money. He bought a yacht.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck yeah. He probably named it, like, the SS Phrenology or something.
Did y'all ever read about it? Do you remember there was a black woman on Twitter who started posting, like, I've been kicked out by my parents because I support Trump. Think he's racist. Da, 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 da. She started a GoFundMe and got like 200 grand or something. And turned around and went, psych!
That ruled, dude.
That's great, ruled. Yeah. Nothing but respect.
It's the only time the conservatives will ever get mad about being like conned out of something.
Yeah.
Is like when a liberal or a progressive does it. But like, you can absolutely, if you say the right racist shit, you can pick their pockets all day.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
All day.
Oh, yeah.
All day. And that's, it's pretty funny because really, I'm not trying to belabor points made on other podcasts too much, but like, yeah, the only people who have the kind of money to donate to something like that are going to be like the only people left with any money, which are like old, insane right-wing people.
Yeah.
So, those are the people, they're only people with pockets left to pick, really.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's, I guess they, Alexa, this is so sad. Play You Get What You Deserve by Paramore. Maybe we should end the episode with like a 10-second
clip. Yeah, 10-second clip.
Of you, whatever that song. I think it's called You Get What You Deserve, yeah. Or You Get What You Give.
It just ends with, then it just like cuts out.
Amazing. Yeah.
I will do that.
High-tech editing there. Yeah. Well, I hope y'all are ready for, we're now Ohio's number one Paramore podcast. That's right. And I think that's what we should exit with.
You know what you call that? Growth.
Growth. Yeah. You know what you call the boil on my ass?
Gross.
I think that's as good a place to leave it as any. I think ass boils. We started with Vorporn and ended with ass boils and got the RNC and the DNC all in there.
And Steve Bannon is an animate pile of foreskins.
Yeah. Love it, dude. Love it. I think we've covered a lot of ground today. Thanks so much for tuning in, coming down to the campsite with us. I've been Tim. These have been my co-hosts, Jack and John. As always, our producer, Ron, is here on the ones and twos. We will see you next time. Sayonara. On our honor, we will do our best to smash capitalism.